This is Geek News Central. My name is Todd Cochran, coming to you from the Blueberry Convo by Design Studio in Columbus, Ohio. The lead stories are multiple Ring data breaches and Ring's absolute denial of a security breach. Facebook is reported to stop using phone numbers for friends' suggestions. The TRACED Act is approved to fight robocalls and expected to be signed by the president. And Lyft is blocking people's names if they have words in it like finger, dick, Cummings. I want to welcome you to episode 1412 of the Geek News Central podcast for Thursday, December 19th. This show is sponsored in part by GoDaddy.com and listeners just like you. Great deals from GoDaddy can be found at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And if you want to be Santa Claus to the show, you can support this show today at geeknewscentral.com/insider. We're live once again on Facebook tonight only because I'm here in the Columbus office, but we're on the Geek News Central page and on my personal page. But I want to welcome new listeners to the show. If you're brand new, you need to take just a few minutes and just go over to geeknewscentral.com, check out all the great content on the website, and more importantly, subscribe to the show when you're over there. You can do that via Google Podcast, Apple Podcast, Spotify. You can subscribe on Android. There's lots of ways to get subscribed to the show right on the right-hand column of the website. Please do that. And while you're there, also sign up for the newsletter. That way you'll get all the latest news that I cover in this show immediately following the podcast delivered to your inbox. You'll have a lifetime history of all the topics we talk about. Of course, you can always find the same information at geeknewscentral.com. You can listen to the show on blueberry.com or on your smart home device by saying the keyword to activate the device and say, play the podcast Geek News Central. You can join our chat room at geeknews.chat, or you can request to be on our Slack channel, or even now our Discord channel. If you have comments about today's show or just want to send some advice, geeknews@gmail is the place to send that email, or you can reach me on Twitter at geeknews, of course, on Facebook as well. Partner shows, and these are all linked at geeknewscentral.com, is GNC Week in Review by Kurt Corliss, The Gadget Professor, Mr. Don Bain, The Pro Gear Site written by my team, and the new media show, which does resume this Saturday from the studio in Michigan, and with my co-host, Mr. Rob Greenlee, and of course, the podcast Legend Show. You can always pick up Geek News Central gear at cafepress.com/Ohana Store. And of course, this show is sponsored by our good friends at GoDaddy.com, the longest running continuous sponsor of a podcast. GoDaddy has been with me since June of 2005. And we appreciate your support when you go over to geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. Pick up a 99-cent.com. Get 30% off GoDaddy products and services. Matter of fact, I use that code myself today. Or get yourself a managed WordPress site for $1 a month for the first year. And it also includes a free domain name, an $8.49 value. So really, you can get started really cheap to get started on GoDaddy. They get you up and running. You can get that standard hosting account as well. $1 a month for the first year. $12 gets you going along with a free domain name. And for those of you who have business accounts, get a 30-day trial with GoDaddy Website Builder. All these deals, again, are geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you are not in need of a GoDaddy product or service, you have a friend, family member, people that you know that do. And matter of fact, it's coming up the holidays. You're all going to be hanging out with family and friends. Keep your ears attuned to what people are talking about their business, talking about things they're doing. And when opportunity presents itself, strike. Share my promo code link or just give them a promo code to use. All of them, again, are available at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. And I tell you what, if you don't know what to get someone for Christmas, hey, why not a website? How about a domain name? You know, it's always cool to buy your kids their own domain names. There's lots of additional extensions out there available today. Matter of fact, I picked up a brand new domain for a new service my company's getting ready to launch. And I picked up the .show, .audio, And I picked up the .io domains because the .com was not available. So lots of new top-level domain extensions out there. And even if you're a football fan, did you know you can get a .football domain now? All those available at GoDaddy.com. Of course, use my promo codes to save money. Again, all those promo codes are geeknesscentral.com/GoDaddy. And of course, hook up and get a free website with all that stuff because, again, first year, $12, manage WordPress hosting account or just a standard hosting account. I want to thank GoDaddy for being a longtime sponsor here at Geek News Central. And of course, your longtime support of the sponsor as well and sharing my codes with your family, friends, people that you know, and linking back to my webpage. So anyway, since we were last together, which was Monday evening, I was in Michigan on Tuesday, and then I left Wednesday morning about 4:30 in the morning to drive down to Columbus. I had a very full schedule down here, but got in the middle of a little mini snowstorm. At least it was heavy snow for me on the toll road. Turned south Toledo to head towards Columbus, and it lightened up and made the drive much better for the last 100 and so miles. But I'm going to tell you, that first 60, 70 miles of the trip just purely sucked. And it really wasn't snowing that hard, but boy, the snowflakes were massive. It truly was. And I found the limitations of some of the sensors in my car. The cruise would not engage because the sensor that is used to detect a vehicle in front of me was obscured. And I couldn't figure out how to disengage that particular feature in cruise. There was really no way. And I've got to get in the manual and see how to do that. But I had to stop at a rest area anyway. I wiped the sensor off and we were good to go. But it had a nice big thick coat of ice on it. But it just showed me that the tech is only as good as, you have a nice clear sensor to be able to use it. You would think that they would have built a heater, in airplanes, depending on what type of aircraft you fly. Sometimes there's heaters in the cuffs and it keeps that ice off there, but not the case in my Ford Edge. But anyway, so nice drive down here. But I tell you, one thing I'm not used to yet is just the gray, gloomy gray. It just sucks. It really, really does. But I have to get used to it, I guess. 17 degrees down here this morning. That was nice and chilly. I should have let the car warm up a little bit longer before I got into it. But anyway, been lots of planning and organizing here. I've been doing interviews. And tomorrow, my team is having a little Christmas party. We're going out for lunch. And then immediately following lunch, we're going to go see Star Wars. So I will be one of the first in America to get, first batch of people to get to see Star Wars. Angelo, my CIO here, has picked up tickets. And I guess we got those nice reclining seats. So looking forward to that. But hey, I tell you one thing I'm looking for. If you have an idea for a media network, a topical media network, let it be race cars, whether it be basket weaving, whatever it may be. If you have an idea for a network, let me know because I'm looking for some network builders. And we've got a brand new plugin here at Blueberry that is basically designed to allow us to showcase and build networks. And it's really, really cool. So I'm looking for a few people that want to work with me to build some networks, some topical networks. So if you've got a topic in mind that you want to go after and form up a network, let me know. So again, anyone that's interested in building a podcast network and around a specific topic, it could be religious-based, it could be sports-based, really any topic under the sun. And anyway, just let me know that. Drop me an email here, geeknews@gmail.com. So lots going on. Christmas is right around the corner, and Chris and Shoko are coming to Michigan, so have them here on Christmas Eve. But we will have a regular show on Monday as scheduled, and then there'll be a normal scheduled show on Thursday as well. So with the holidays spaced the way they are, The Mondays and Thursdays are clear, but the holidays are in between. All right, so let's talk a little bit about this Ring data breaches. And what you need to know is that the credentials and users of 3,600 cameras have been leaked online. This includes login emails, passwords, and camera nicknames. Addition cash belonging to 1,500 users has also been discovered for sale on the dark web. It's not yet clear whether these are from the same data set or if it's an additional leak. Again, smart home security firm Ring has been caught in a cycle of screw-up after screw-up, but their statement continues to be mind-blowing. Ring has not had a data breach. Our security team has investigated these incidents, and we have no evidence of an unauthorized intrusion or compromise of Ring systems or network. It is not uncommon for bad actors to harvest data from other company data breaches and create lists like these so that other bad actors can attempt to gain access to other services. But the article goes on from Android Central saying Ring's reasoning here is a bit confusing. It's true on one hand, you can argue that bad actors may have matched the credentials of Ring users to accounts originating from other breachers. On the other hand, a security researcher, Cooper Quinton, has noted, the information that dumped contained Ring-specific information that could not have come from another firm's credential dump. It's unlikely the Gmail breach, for instance, would contain the nicknames and locations of a Ring account. Ring may dispute a data breach through its sales spokesperson, but its explanation leaves something to be desired. So next up, the folks over at The Verge are basically saying how to secure your Ring camera and account. And they're talking about keep your security device as safe as possible. And if you're the owner of a Ring smart home system, the recent security issues surrounding the Ring camera should be considerably concerning. And it's being reported by The Verge that this isn't a hardware or the software that itself is being hacked. They're saying it's you. And in other words, the method used to obtain password and protect and otherwise ensure that your account cannot be used by anyone other than yourself or your family. So they're blaming the habits of users, and they're on Ring's side saying here that you're not using unique passwords. You also can implement two-factor authentication. And I think you need to do this on these devices. It's very, very concerning. So what you need to do is you can open the Ring app, click on the menu icon in the upper left-hand corner, and select Settings. You'll be brought to the account settings page in a section entitled Enhanced Security. Tap on two-factor authentication. The next explains now, whenever you submit your password, you'll be texted a verification code. The phone number where codes will be sent is shown. You can change that if you want. There's instructions on how to do this, but I'm not convinced. I am not convinced that this is what really is occurring here. So be aware of this. If you've got a Ring camera, go in. It's time to change the password regardless. Don't use something simple. Use a password generator to get you a good password so that you can assure at least you've done what you can do. And in the meantime, until there's a better explanation, be aware, okay? Don't run around naked in front of your Ring camera, all right? Now, many of you just have these on the front door, so they may not be as susceptible, but they've got a full line of indoor cameras too. So just be aware, all right? Facebook is going to stop using phone numbers for friend suggestions. The move is an effort to improve privacy following the social media giant's record settlement with the Federal Trade Commission. So they've confirmed that they're going to stop using phone numbers and email addresses for targeted advertising. You know, they did a $5 billion settlement with FTC, and based on feedback from the privacy and securities community, they've started updating their two-factor authentication features so the phone numbers people add will not be used to suggest friends. So that's interesting. And part of a larger shift Facebook has made since it came to light in 2018 that the Cambridge Analytica political consultancy for improperly accessed information of 87 million Facebook users. In addition to the settlement with the FTC, they dealt with privacy problems beyond the Cambridge Analytica scandal, and Facebook has had to comply with new privacy laws around the globe, including the General Data Protection Regulations, GDPR, and European Union, and the California Consumer Privacy Act. That comes into effect January 1st, 2020. So we'll see where this goes. But Facebook still knows a lot about you. You know who knows a lot about you? The grocery store. You know all those deals you sign up for and you go and put your PIN code in and you put your savings card in? They register every single product that you buy. Everything you buy in a grocery store is cataloged. They know what you like. That's how you get targeted with coupons and deals, because the big companies, the big grocery sellers, go out and buy these lists from your grocery store, and they use that information to target you. So if you don't like being targeted by your grocery store, pay cash. Pay cash and don't use only thing but cut coupons. Because as soon as you sign up for one of their rewards program and they have you in the system, you're done. But most of you probably already knew that, right? I guess you don't being mind targeted on your favorite foods. Hey, Congress approved the TRACE Act to fight robocalls, and the president is expected to sign this. So the Senate approved the Telephone Robocall Abuse Criminal Enforcement Act. The legislation could give the government new powers to prosecute robocallers. It would also require carriers to authenticate and block spam calls to share those services with customers for free. You know, it's been the last week, my phone, maybe the last 2 weeks, my phone has just blown up. I mean, exploded with a number of folks that are just ringing me, and I've had a lot of calls. I got one yesterday from Noah in Hawaii. Like, okay, who do I know that works for Noah in Hawaii? And I got to think, well, that could be someone I know. So I answered it, and of course, I heard the distinctive pause with a click, and someone said, "Mr. Cochran." I'm like, "Oh yeah," and it was definitely an overseas caller hung up on that individual, but. It's hard to tell. And we were talking about it here in the office too. Everyone's saying, "I'm getting robocalls from my friends' phone numbers. People are in my contact list." And I'm just like, no, they're just spoofing and it's really not in your contact list. Go look and see if you've got the contact came in. And sure enough, they were looking and saying, "I don't have that name in my contact list." So they're definitely playing games here. And this TRACE Act maybe will start to help some of that. We'll see over time. So Lyft, you gotta love this. People that have real names that include the words Dick, D-I-C-K, which could be a Richard, Finger, which could end up being a last name. There's people with the last name of Finger. Matter of fact, we got someone on the show that's watching the show tonight, Skip Freeze. His real last name is Freeze. So, but they're blocking people with names. Of course, folks with last names of Cummings, C-U-M-M-I-N-G-S, they're getting warnings, and people are responding. So, "Yo, Lyft, I think it's kind of beep. You don't allow me to use service anymore because of the last name I have. Fix your company's code and parameters. The last name Cummings is an actual last name. Beep, beep, beep." Another person said, "Dear Lyft, my last name is really Cox. How would you like me to proceed?" Mike Finger said, "Hey, Lyft, I realize it might be hard to believe, but it's really my name, and you need to get your mind out of the gutter." So it just, and then it's not only that, it's people with international names. One gentleman whose name was Vubiano, B-U-B-U-N-Y-O, they were, community standards warning came to him telling him to change his name as well. So it looks like Lyft is trying to clean up its database, yet people with actual real names resembling what could be ha-ha-ha words are becoming an issue. Google is bringing some of the customer service call center jobs into the United States. They're going to be moving folks out of, not moving, but they're going to be moving part of their divisions that's in the Philippines and India and creating about 4,000 new jobs here, no, 1,000 jobs here in the United States, with about 3,800 of them remaining overseas. So I didn't know you could actually call Google to begin with. How do you get that number, right? Oh, I closed a tab. Let me reopen that here. Reopen, close tab. There we go. Virginia has big plans for electric school buses in 2020, and this is interesting. The buses will store excess power and return it to the grid when it's needed. And so in a deal with Dominion Energy, the utility that supplies the Commonwealth of Virginia with most of its electricity, They're helping subsidize the purchase of these new buses, which will contain a 220 kilowatt lithium ion battery with a range of about 134 miles, and they'll recharge in about 3 hours using a 60 kilowatt DC fast charging system. And what they will do is they'll have these plugged into the grid, and when the Commonwealth needs a little bit more power, they will use the bus batteries to feed the grid during times of shortage. It's kind of interesting. Now, what happens when the buses don't have enough charge before their morning run to pick kids up from school? Well, we will see. But I guess feeding back into the grid and then recharging, what does that do for the life of the battery? Does that reduce the life of the battery, these numerous discharges and recharges? But anyway, they've done some planning on where these buses are going to be, and specific districts are being chosen for the first 50 buses. How long before all these electric vehicles are being used to feed the grid in the middle of the night or whenever they have a shortage of power? But at the same point, how do they ensure that those vehicles have enough juice in the morning to get the people to work and back? We've talked about Z-Wave quite a bit. Z-Wave is making a huge change. Z-Wave's been kind of a closed ecosystem, and Z-Wave is known really, and it's been around a long time, but when Apple, Google, Amazon, and Zigbee, another protocol, announced that they're going to work together on a common standard, home standard, for basically these Internet of Things, low energy communication, the competing smart home system, Z-Wave, has been long criticized as not truly being open. So the Z-Wave Alliance made an announcement that it would seem to fix that. It's going to open up part of the standard that's been long locked down as a money-making scheme. So now they're going to allow other companies to make the radio chips for Z-Wave, the Z-Wave protocol. They feel they can compete. So I think they're under a lot of pressure here, because when you have Apple, Google, Amazon, and Zigbee, they're all working together on a common standard, and you got Z-Wave out there. They've either got to do something quick and join the party or get left behind. So I do like the Z-Wave protocols. We followed Z-Wave from the beginning, part of our CES conversation. You could actually go into geeknesscentral.com and search for Z-Wave, and you can actually listen to Z-Wave Alliance folks, the interviews we've done over the years. Hey, Marty, thanks for saying hi in the show, and Merry Christmas to you as well, and I wish you a great holiday as well. Same to you, Lauren, as well. Thank you so much for joining the show tonight. The United States Congress has voted to raise the age for buying tobacco, including e-cigs, from 18 to 21. Many states have done this already. The state of Hawaii had done this some time ago. But again, this is federally now. The U.S. Congress has voted to raise the age for purchasing alcohol 18 to 21 and has applied the rule to e-cigarettes as well as more traditional tobacco products. The higher age limit was included in a federal spending package that passed the House of Reps earlier this week. It's now been approved by the Senate, and President Trump is expected to sign the bill into a law. The change will likely go into effect next year and has been in the works for a while. In April, Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell started pushing a bill to raise the buying age of tobacco, saying he was responding to a dramatic rise in teen vaping. That bill was later added to the spending package that the president supported, and the president supported raising the vaping age to 21. In November, 19 states plus the District of Columbia have already passed tobacco 21 laws, starting with Hawaii in 2015. And dominant e-cigarette maker Juul has backed these new restrictions as well. And of course, e-cigarettes have been singled out for criticism in 2019. I know a lot of people are pissed off that they've removed the flavored vape from the marketplace, and it's big conspiracy to a lot of the folks. I understand it. Personally, be honest with you, I don't care what people do to their body, what they inhale. Let them inhale what they want to inhale, but keep it away from the 18 and under. That's my biggest issue. But kids are kids. They're still going to get vapes. Come on now. It isn't going to stop them from vaping. An 18-year-old, anyone under 21 wants to vape. It never stopped kids from getting booze, right? They'd always get alcohol. There's always an outlet to get stuff that is supposedly illegal for their age. Come on now. You know, it's what are they going to do? They're going to prosecute a few people here and there, but mostly retailers is what it's going to be. But, you know, it's not going to stop stuff being sold online. You can go online to Alibaba.com. You can order almost anything on there. If they want a vape, they're going to order it from them, get it shipped in. They're not going to care about checking for age. Let's make sure somebody's 21. Come on. You know, it's really kind of a, to me, it's a little bit of a joke. If you look at the online world today and what's available, what can be purchased online, it's insane. YouTuber Silicon Valley and fans help Mr. Beast, which is a YouTuber, raise $20 million for tree charity. This is the biggest amount ever raised for the Arbor Foundation. So the Arbor Day Foundation will plant a tree. A dollar is all it costs. And they've surpassed their goal of raising $20 million to plant 20 million trees. And the campaign began nearly 2 months ago when hundreds of YouTubers led by Jimmy, Mr. Beast Donaldson, teamed up to fight climate change and prove that YouTube isn't just a drama fest. So anyway, good job on the raising the $20 million and the donation to the Arbor Foundation, Arbor Day Foundation, and the ability to put 20 million trees in the ground. You do know that responsible foresters are replanting areas that they cut down today. And the thinning out, you know, you look at my mom's property and the 80 acres of woods we have there, is that we have a need in this property to go in and do a cutting at some point soon. It's been more than 10 years since we've done a thinning. And what it does is you cut the mature trees, and all the samplings that are around just explode. And they, you know, it's not an issue. Forests regenerate themselves when properly forested. And it's a cycle. And you get, well, you know, you get wood out of the trees that are cut down. And it's good for the ecosystem. So I'm just, you know, I know there's parts of the world that don't do that, where there's deforestation and no replanting. But I think mostly in America, we've been good stewards of forest land and replanted. Sure, they pushed out a lot of trees and stuff for farmland and stuff like that. That was done many, many, many years ago before anyone really had any true thoughts on conservation. But the remaining woods and areas, they've, for the most part, been largely well-maintained. It's very rare when you're driving across America today and you drive by some woods, and you'll see it bare and cut completely down. It's not the case. They go in and selectively cut trees to allow other samplings that are already growing thrive. So I don't know. I'd like to see where these 20 million trees are being planted, where they're being, you know, where there's bad conservation practices. I just don't see evidence in where I'm living and where I've been exposed to, but maybe you have. Dark Overlord. Boy, that sounds like a threatening nickname, right? Dark Overlord. Taunted, threatened, and extorted. Now the alleged member is behind bars. A UK man who fought extradition for almost a year is finally on U.S. soil and has been indicted. Nyan White, 39, was extradited from the UK to St. Louis, Missouri after losing a year-long legal fight to block the transfer. White was arraigned in U.S. District Court of Eastern District of Missouri on Wednesday. He pleaded non-guilty. The indictment unsealing the case alleged Wyatt participated in hacks on three healthcare providers, a medical records company, and an accounting firm. The indictment said Wyatt conspired with other members of the Dark Overlord to hack into companies, steal their valuable data, and threaten to publish it unless they receive payments in Bitcoin. These jaunts and these ransoms were started in July of 2017, and they actually sent very disgusting, nasty stuff to sons and daughters of people that they had hacked, company owners that they had hacked, but they also stole a lot of movies and stuff like that. So anyway, this individual is seeing his day in court, and not only just taunting people, but threats, death threats as well, was made to individuals and in the indictment. So we will see where this goes, but he is on U.S. soil. You can run, but you can't hide when the U.S. government comes after you. Have you heard about Snack Pass? Snack Pass Snug, $21 million to let your friends earn free takeout. And one thing I've learned here in Columbus area, I've been using Grubhub. Much cheaper in California to use Grubhub. Matter of fact, I put in an order and I looked at the total last night and I canceled the order because it just seemed like it was $5 or $6 too high. And I drove the 10 minutes to the restaurant where I was going to eat. And sure enough, my bill was about $9 cheaper eating in the restaurant. And so the delivery and the privilege, privilege of having that food delivered to my hotel room was $9. And I just couldn't see it, you know. And maybe it's worth it, but for some reason, the delivery cost and just the food overall is much more expensive. Maybe it's not as competitive as out in Los Angeles, but definitely not cheaper, that's for sure, which is surprising. But anyway, Snack Pass is operating and is doing a startup, and they're operating out of Yale University. And apparently people are eager to pay for takeout through Snack Pass, because it lets them earn loyalty points to redeem free food, both for themselves and as a gift for their friends. Sending people Snack Pass rewards became a new way to flirt or show gratitude at Yale. And through the Venmo-style Snack Pass social feed, users could keep up with a fresh form of gossip while discovering restaurants. Anyone or someone standing in line to order something, we can solve that with Snack Pass, says Tan. Consumer spending will be social in the future. Marty says, Grubhub is expensive in Connecticut. Cheaper for me to go pick it up myself for sure. Yeah, definitely here in Ohio as well. It was not the case in California, at least when I was out in Los Angeles. Facebook is banning misinformation related to the 2020 U.S. Census. Believe it or not, this policy also applies to Instagram, and politicians aren't exempt from passing bad census information. So, they won't allow posts or ads with false information about when, where, and how people should participate in the census, who can do so, or what information material people need to take part. In addition, Facebook is prohibiting anyone suggesting that completing the census might result in law enforcement consequences, along with misinformation about how the government uses data from it. It also bans ads on Facebook and Instagram that urge people not to participate, or doing so would be useless or meaningless. I wonder if they ever get I never heard the outcome of the census question to ask if you were an undocumented in the United States. I think that was the question, right? Did that get allowed to be asked in the census? I don't know. I never saw the outcome of that case or where that ended up in the court. Knowing the way things go, it was probably banned. But the census gets underway very, very soon. Next month, actually, it's going to start in Alaska. I guess that's where it starts first. I thought that was U.S.-wide. But anyway, I'm sure we'll hear more about this. U.S. wireless emergency alerts are now more locally targeted. As promised, the wireless emergency alerts should be more sophisticated and more relevant. The FCC has announced a slew of improvements are now in place for alerts, including significantly improved geographic accuracy that doesn't let alerts overshoot their intended areas by more than a tenth of a mile. The messages themselves can be much longer, jumping from 90 to 360 characters, and can arrive in Spanish. You also see a type of alert as a public safety message that can be recommended. They can recommend life-saving measures like shelter locations. So I haven't seen too many of these emergency alerts. They're saying you maybe also have to endure fewer tests. Organizers can now run alert tests that only reach volunteers and don't require an FCC waiver to take place. May only see mandatory tests for large-scale drills. Boy, if you live in Germany and you want to ride Uber, not much luck here. Uber suffered another major setback in Europe, according to Reuters, and boy, they hate Uber. A court in Germany ruled on Thursday that the company doesn't have the necessary license to operate a business that employs four hired drivers. In Germany and other parts of the European Union, Uber operates differently than it does in North America due to a 2017 decision by the EU highest court. You, man, what a racket that is. The company works exclusively with private hire vehicles, companies, and their licensed drivers. Today's decision effectively bans the company from offering rides to people in the seven cities where Uber operates in Germany. So the taxi people win. Taxi people win. They did a legal challenge against Uber, and they got big fines enacted. It's just too bad. It really is on how some places resist change so much. Honda is going to show off its in-car artificial intelligence assistant at CES. It also plans to detail concept designed to limit phone-related distracted driving. So maybe this year, you know, I'm real lucky because this year I get to show up as talent to CES. Scott Ertz is taking care of all the planning and bookings and taking care of the live stream. And I have to do a couple of things, but I'm going to be free to roam a little bit. So I'm definitely going to go and trudge the halls a little bit I haven't been able to do in the last few years because I've been stuck managing the live broadcast booth. So very exciting time to be able to get out and see some more of CES that I haven't been able to see in the last number of years. So I'm going to take the camera. We'll do some videos. It'll be fun and have lots of content for you at the Consumer Electronics Show. The ACLU has sued to force feds to reveal how secret border search teams target travelers. A Freedom of Information lawsuit demands data on the Tactical Terrorism Response Team, TTRS. So get this. When Andreas Gao, CEO of Silk Labs and a U.S. citizen, returned to the U.S. from a business trip in Europe last year, he was detained by U.S. Customs and Border Patrol for secondary screening. He claims he was threatened with unwarranted charges, denied access to an attorney, and told he had to unlock his electronic devices before he'd be allowed to leave. Most of the questions Gale explained in a phone interview with the Register related to his work as CTO of Mozilla, a position he left in 2015. He says, they didn't tell me what they were looking for, he said, but having gone through this experience, it did not feel random. Despite being told he had no right to attorney, he said he refused to answer questions and was eventually allowed to go without unlocking his devices, though his global entry card, which is a subscription-based biometric border entry program to facilitate travel, was taken from him. So the ACLU sued CBP, claiming the agency maintained secretive units, detained, search, and question, and or deny entry to people with valid travel documents who present no security risk. And this guy was a U.S. citizen. Makes you go, The ACLU contends that these tactical terrorism response teams have operated for the past few years and targeted individuals, including U.S. citizens, who do not present a security risk but may hold information or have a connection to individuals of interest to the U.S. government. A federal study. What do you guys think about this? You go into this no man lands of, you know, get off an airplane from doing international travel, you're going through customs, and you're really kind of stuck in between. It is true you kind of are at the whim of the Border Patrol folks. So what do you guys think? What do you guys think of this? You know, I'm sure 99.999% of people get through, but it's when they roll somebody up and start asking questions. And of course, we don't know the full story here on why he was detained, but I think the ACLU is probably right in trying to go and find out, you know, what the story is there. A federal study, this is on the Los Angeles Times, a federal study finds race and gender affect face scanning technology. A study by U.S. agencies found that facial recognition technology often performs unevenly based on a person's race, gender, or age. This is the first time the NIST, the National Institute of Standards and Technology, has investigated demographic difference in how face scanning algorithms are able to identify people. The Nuance report published Thursday is unlikely to resolve differences of opinion between cities and defenders of facial recognition. It cautions against incomplete previous research alleging biased facial recognition has alarmed lawmakers, but confirmed similar trends showing higher error rates for women, the youngest and oldest people, and for certain racial groups. So, don't worry. Don't worry. The Chinese are coming. They'll fix it for us. They've got facial recognition that is second to none. They're used to dealing with different types of racial, racial profiles. Is that the right way to say it? They're used to working on people's race, gender, or age. Because in China, you're tracked everywhere. And they want to help us Americans track people much better as well. Hey, tomorrow morning, if you're awake at 6:36 a.m. Eastern, Boeing is going to the International Space Station with its first Starliner spacecraft to launch its critical test flight. And so if you're up, I'm sure there's going to be a live stream of this. It's an uncrewed capsule carrying 595 pounds of cargo. It's set to launch from Space Launch Complex 41 at Cape Canaveral at 6:36 a.m. The craft will launch atop an N-22 version of the Atlas V rocket built by the United Launch Alliance. N-22 has no fairing, two solid rocket boosters on the side of the vehicle, and two engines of the vehicle Centaur upper stage. So they're going to watch. Oh, this is going to be on space.com. Or on NASA TV. So you can wake up at 5:30 a.m. Eastern. If you're listening to the show after 7 a.m. on Friday, it's too late. Vivaldi, you have heard about this? V-I-V-A-L-D-I, it's a browser. Well, they were having problems. The browser's backend is based on Chrome, and they were having problems with having websites, recognize it. So what they did is they changed the user agent. They changed the user agent of the browser, and now it appears as Chrome. So they're not having problems on websites anymore. They say from this update onwards, user will be able to browse smoothly all those websites that claim to be incompatible with Vivaldi. Vivaldi said in a blog post Thursday about the release of Vivaldi 29 that makes the change. In a video, it spotlighted baseless browser incapabilities with Google Search, Google Docs, WhatsApp, and Netflix. Also said it's got problems with Media, Microsoft Teams, Twitch, GitHub, ABC Go, AT&T, TV Now, and Spotify, but it's all working well now. So user agents have always been sketchy. People have changed those to try to mask themselves. So Marnie says, really outrageous, but as you say, we don't know the whole story. As you know, some take the situation that are in control to a whole other level. And she's referring to the central, from the Border Patrol, basically pulling this guy aside. So, but it'd be interesting to see if they find out why. Do you think that'll ever come out? Do you think they'll black out the Freedom of Information Act documents that they turn over? You guys know my experience with FOIAs. They're a pain, and they can be very, 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 very expensive. Twitter's iPad app is getting a much-needed redesign. So if you use Twitter on the iPad, be aware they're making some changes here. I don't know if it's actually been out. Yeah, it is rolling out now, but it doesn't seem to be available everywhere yet. So they got a preview of that. I mostly use Twitter on my mobile phone, not on my iPad. Also, the folks over at Computer World have 12 Android tips you shouldn't miss from 2019. These are all these great wrap-up lists of things to do. Talks about hidden tricks, taking advantage of, oh, come on, I don't need the pop-up saying, I don't want your newsletter, thank you very much. Don't you websites that do those pop-ups as you scroll, they should be banned from the planet. There should be an app. As soon as some of those pop-ups pop up, the window closes as penalty for doing that stuff. It drives me insane. You get ready to leave a web page, all of a sudden get a pop-up, say, hey, sign up for our newsletter so that we can email blast you 500 times a month. Yeah, it really drives me crazy. I'm not going to... Naughty, naughty on you, Computer World. Goodbye. California statewide earthquake early warning system sent its first alert. More than 40 people receive the notification. Now get this. How much of a heads up do you think it gave? A minute? 30 seconds? 15? 5? It gave a 1 second heads up. They got the text message 1 second before the earthquake. How much money have they spent on that? 1 second? Come on now. Probably spent $100 million on that to get a 1 second advance warning. Someone please tell me that the goal is to get it out faster. Spotify tests taste buds feature that highlights your friends' favorite tracks. You know, how many of you are like social sharing your Spotify playlist? I'm not a Spotify user per se. I do like Pandora. But I guess Spotify Taste Buds is a tool that discovers music through friends who taste you trust. All right. Vehicle recognition tech will be used to find cars involved in Amber Alerts. Now, here is a good idea. We've got millions of traffic cameras across America. And Amber Alerts are serious, serious business. It's when children are abducted. You know, we've had, this all originated from 1996 when Amber Hagerman was snatched and murdered in Texas. These alerts send out emergency messages to law enforcement, broadcasters, and civilians with the details of child abduction. And, you know, I've gotten these in Texas. I see it happens. I've seen more notifications in Texas than anywhere else. But apparently, according to this article, Rekor, R-E-K-O-R, this company uses vehicle recognition technology to act as a secondary distribution channel for alerts. In 2017, 2018, more than a quarter of the cases where a child was rescued from an abduction resolved because someone recognized the vehicle and alert. Its technology will automate the process using AI and camera system to identify a vehicle make, model, and color, sending details of potential matches directly to law enforcement. The software is easily installed and works with any existing device, meaning organizations won't have to purchase new hardware to use it. Of course, Amber Alerts will continue to go out to existing sources such as radio, TV, road signs, and cell phones. I've seen them mostly on billboards, you know, digital billboards in Texas. So good on them. I think that's a good use of tech. BMW now has 500,000 EVs on the road. The number of electric vehicles is growing exponentially. So it took 3 years for BMW to shift from 100,000 vehicles to 500,000. But still good on them. And of course, Nissan, which this year topped 400,000 sales of its electric Leaf, and Tesla, which sold 97,000 vehicles during the third quarter of 2019 alone. BMW says its next goal is to have 1 million EVs on the road within the next 2 years. Again, not enough charging stations. Woefully not enough. There's just not enough. All these people, before you buy an EV, again, before you buy an EV, you look at your driving habits and see how far you can go on a normal month of driving, back and forth in different places you have to go, short road trips on the weekends, that kind of stuff, and figure out if you have EV charging stations where you can get your car charged when you're away from the house or on a road trip. Do you travel from Dallas to San Antonio or something like that? How many EV charging stations are in between? Are you going to be able to stop? Are you going to be able to get a charger? Are you going to have to wait 3 hours for a charger while someone inside Walmart shopping? You know, this is the problem with these EVs. Not enough charging stations. We're selling a lot of electric vehicles, but we surely don't have very many charging stations. This is a massive problem in Hawaii because so many people in Hawaii live in high rises and they don't have charging stations in the high rises, very limited parking as it is. And yet everyone's buying EVs and so few EV places. It's really ridiculous. Matter of fact, I think it's a good business to set up. If you have a spare slot in your driveway, why not put in, you know, if you're a one-car family and you got a two-car parking spot, and you install an electric vehicle charger and then use that as a profit center. You know, charge them 50% more than what it costs you for your electricity to recharge their cars in your neighborhood. You might be surprised. These high-voltage ones are not real expensive, probably $1,000, $1,300 to install. depending on how far away your circuit breaker panel is from where the EV charger will be, of course. And, you know, the EV chargers themselves, the high-powered ones, are not that bad from a cost center. You might actually make some money. If I was a business owner in a property that I maintain complete control of, I would put EV charging stations in the lot as a profit center. Matter of fact, that reminds me. I got to talk to my sister about this. Because this is the problem. Not enough EV charging locations. They just don't exist. I bet a lot more EV cars out there. Uber has set up a $4.4 million fund to settle federal sexual harassment probe. Is also agreed to be monitored for 3 years and ensure it changes its practices. So they're setting up this fund for current former employees who were sexually harassed. The company move is one of the items, one of the terms the ride-hailing giant has agreed to in order to resolve a probe launch by the U.S. Equal Opportunity Commission, EEOC, in 2017. So being monitored and $4.4 million as a fund to pay off claims. TiVo, remember them? TiVo is going to merge with entertainment tech firm Xperia in a $3 billion deal. So TiVo scrapped plans to split itself into two separate companies and instead announced this merger. And the new merger entity will take Xperia name, but will continue to sell entertainment services under the TiVo brand, along with Xperia DTS, HD Radio, and IMAX Enhanced brands. This is an all-stock deal. So someone's, I guess, doing okay on that one. So congratulations. Chip Delay is redesigning its restaurants to better serve mobile orders. You know, there's a Chip Delay here real close to the office in Columbus. Call me not impressed. Please. It would not hurt me if I never ate another Chip Delay in my entire life. Do people actually think this is good food? Honestly? Please tell me what you like at Chip Delay. Tell me what is good there. I'm not at all impressed. I'm sorry. Skip, what was the good idea? All right. 24 of the worst passwords of 2019. And it doesn't change very much from year to year. The number 1, 123456. Number 2, 123456789. Number 3, QWERTY. Number 4, password. Number 5, 123456789. Number 6, 123456789. Number 7, 123456789. Number 8, I love you. Number 9, 111111. Number 10, 123123. Number 11, ABC123, QWERTY123. It just, come on. Please, I know there's no one in this office, I mean, not in this office, in this audience that uses these passwords. Please, 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 please. Here's another thing you do during Christmas. Ask the old people, the elderly people, our revered seniors. So let me just, you know, let's really have some respect here. Ask them what passwords they're using. My goodness, 123456. That would get hacked in about 15 seconds. Yes, Gib, it's a good idea on a charger ID on a spare parking spot, yeah? You know, charge by the hour, you know? So you want to charge? You know, sell a package. Yeah, come by the house. You can use a charger for 3 hours for $20 or whatever it is. You have to make it semi-reasonable or you'll have no one go there. But matter of fact, if you have two parking spots, you can park your car on the street. You can really do well, all right? That's the business to be in. And of course, then your housing association would come around and complain because you're running a business charging cars, where they should be the ones putting up charging stations to offset housing association fees. That's another thing. If you live in a housing association, you all have these extra parking spots, right? Visitor parking spots. There are always not enough of them. But why not make those all electric vehicle charging stations? And then whatever vehicles are charging there, then they can, you know, you can offset some of your homeowners association fees. You know, make it a profit center. You know, and talk to these idiots and make them understand if we're going to have this many electric vehicles, we got to have places to charge them. I had a buddy that lived in a condo, and his condo had assigned parking, And he had upfront a bunch of money to put his charging station up. And then when he sold the house, he had to agree that if the new owner didn't want it, he would have to have removed it. Luckily, the new owner wanted the charging station. But, he had to go through lots of hoops to have a charging station put in. It cost him a lot of money, probably more money than he saved in gas over the number of years he had the vehicle. Sank, if you're listening, I'm talking about you. Dish CEO Urgent vows to undercut the wireless competition on pricing. Dish co-founders looks forward to competing with T-Mobile if the merger is approved. And of course, Dish is getting a whole bunch of spectrum as part of this deal. They're going to become a new fourth wireless player, acquiring divested Sprint assets should the acquisition get past the 14 state attorney generals. Seems like this thing has taken forever, right? Poor Sprint. YouTube Music rolls out personalized playlists. Users can listen to 3 new mixes in the app. Wow. All right. We got more music options than, geez, what do we got? Amazon Music, you got Apple Music, you've got Spotify, you got Pandora, you got YouTube Music, and there's probably 25 others. Which is the best? What do you guys like best? What music app do you like best? All right, some CES 2020 preview, PC, laptops, and tablets, and gaming. I've got a good review from the CNET folks. Of course, CNET has a huge presence every year at CES. And of course, they've got some trends that they're expect to see in subscription and services. Lots of stuff talking about streaming services, stuff about health and wellness subscription, smart technology, families and kids, and the list goes on. So we'll see what comes out of the Consumer Electronics Show. And Samsung is announcing its next foldable phone could be look like a traditional flip phone. It folds in half. So it looks like an old razor, like clamshell type. I still don't fully understand why anyone would want one of these phones, but apparently they're selling them like hotcakes. Okay. He says he likes my charger ID in the spare parking spot. Yes. Come on. We're going to have electric vehicles. We need to figure out how to get these bad boys all charged. All right, everyone. We're going to bounce out of here. I've got everything covered I was going to talk about today. And don't forget your favorite geek for Christmas. You can, you can give the gift that keeps on giving by signing up for a insider plan, $2, $5, $10, $15, $20, or $25 a month, as low as 6.7 cents a day to support the Geek News Central and the Geek News Central team at geeknewscentral.com/insider. It's a value for value program. I hope that I provide you valuable information, valuable entertainment, at least part of the time. And again, thank you for your patience as I move around and I'm a mobile ninja here in the Columbus office today. And tomorrow morning, we're taking the team out we had a team meeting today, did a call, and then we're having a lunch tomorrow, and then we're going to go see Star Wars. And then Angela and I are going to come back to the office and do a little bit of work, and then I have to roll north back to Michigan for the Saturday show, for the new media show. And then, of course, the week of Christmas, but which it will still be, Tuesday, Wednesday will be off, but the rest of the week I'll be working. But everyone, thanks for being here, being part of the Ohana. I look to be with you Monday as we head into Christmas Eve. It's been my pleasure to bring you a show here. Don't forget about our sponsor, GoDaddy, at geeknewscentral.com/GoDaddy. If you have comments about today's show, geeknews@gmail.com, geeknews@gmail.com. And again, geeknewscentral.com/insider. Keep your geek on your Christmas list. Give the gift that keeps on giving. Thank you so much for being here. We'll see you next time. And for all of you that were in the chat room tonight on Facebook, thanks so much. Marty, Skip, and everyone else, take care. And everyone have a great evening. We'll see you next time. Stay warm out there. And for those of you at warm, I'm internally jealous. Merry Christmas to all. We'll see you all on the 23rd. Everyone take care. Bye-bye.